They turn for home and Pandemi trying to see it out. Red Davies in front from Tappin' Cat in second. The poser, the center of the track, and Torture Truth is fourth. Red Davies, a stubborn foe. Red Davies just there and hanging on.
We're off to the races, powered by the Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races. Here's Nick Hahn.
A couple of great Maryland-based bands leads us into this Saturday edition of Off to the Races. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us. The Morgan State Band provided a little bit of the backdrop of last year's Maryland Million Classic, which was a thriller and has a lot of the similar participants coming back this year. Perdini and the Poser all coming back to race in the Breeders in the Maryland Million Classic today. Maryland Million Day, a big day up at Laurel Park today. We'll have a live report from Frank Vespi a little bit later in the show. And of course, the United States Naval Band doing part of the intro as well. A couple of great bands, of course, based there in Annapolis. Big day in Maryland today. Big day in Virginia with the International Gold Cup being raced today as well up at the Plains, and of course racing at Shenandoah Downs. We'll speak with track superintendent J.D. Thomas, who has worked on basically every racetrack in Virginia, it seems. Middleburg, Colonial Downs, Shenandoah Downs, and I'm probably leaving a few out. J.D. Thomas will join us here right around the corner in about 3 or 4 minutes or so. And later in the show, we'll get that live report from Frank Vespi. I do want to fill you in on a visit I had yesterday out at the James River Horse Foundation facility in Goochland. Actually, a very rewarding trip out there. We'll have a little more about that later in the show. I know the girls are at least going to be trying to listen today, whether it's tape or live. And we appreciate you tuning in this morning as well on Off to the Races. But let's first talk about what we actually started the show with, the Maryland Million Classic today. A couple of horses that raced at Colonial Downs. Actually, the Poser got a win at Colonial Downs for Ham Smith over the summer here, but was one of the finishers that finished 1, 2, 3 in this race. Tappin' Cat and Perdini were in this last year. Let's just get a little familiar with participants in this year's Maryland Million Classic with Dave Rodman's call of last year's Maryland Million Classic.
They turn for home, and Prendimi trying to see it out. Prendimi's in front from Tappin' Cat in second. The Poser, the center of the track, and Torture Truth is fourth. Prendimi, a stubborn foe. Prendimi just there and hanging on. Prendimi, Torture Truth, gradually gaining ground on the inside. Tappin' Cat, the Poser on the far outside. Prendimi, so tenacious. Prendimi holding on. Prendimi does it.
Yeah, real stubborn Perdini at a big price last year. Going to reunite with Tappin' Cat and the Poser as part of this year's field. And we'll have a lot more on that on when we speak with Frank Vespi in about 30 minutes or so. Dave Rodman always providing a great call. Of course, he called Colonial forever during the first segment and of Colonial Downs, and always appreciate his calls. Our feature race last week was the Sands Point run at Aqueduct, but the Belmont at the Big A meet. And this featured the Virginia Oaks winner, who we spoke a lot about, Spirit and Glory, in this field. The favorite in this group was actually Pizza Bianca, ridden by Jose Ortiz. And John Embriel has the call of last week's Sands Point.
And now they're in the stretch. It is Higher Truth on the outside, our flash drive. They are heads apart for the lead. In behind, Fluffy Socks looking to come on through. And down at the rail, Plum Alley and Runaway Rumor, a 16th of the finish. Here comes Fluffy Socks. Here comes Runaway Rumor on the outside. Fluffy Socks and Runaway Rumor. Fluffy Socks by a head.
actually picked up the wrong race there, but nonetheless, in the Sands Point, Spirit and Glory finished fifth in the field there. Spirit and Glory just did, in replaying that race, just had traffic issues the whole way. If you look at his comment line, this is a horse I think you can easily bet back. He just saved ground, came under coaching, and just really didn't have a straight path to the wire until real late, and was running best late. So I would just simply draw a line through Spirit and Glory for the Virginia Oaks winner, and look to bet that horse maybe later down the line. But reaching out now to a guy who we have a lot of racing happening today throughout the Commonwealth of Virginia, and this guy knows the surfaces of all these facilities, as well as the track at Colonial Downs. J.D. Thomas joins us on Off to the Races this morning. Good morning, J.D.
Good morning, Nick. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I tell you what, it has been a bit of a tough month, but I feel like I'm rounding the corner on a couple of these things.
Good. Been a long time, Nick.
Yeah, you know, I was speaking with Daryl Wood just shortly before the show started, and I was like, you know, I don't know that I've run across your path since the meet at Shenandoah last year. How is everything going with the meet there at Shenandoah Downs there in Woodstock, and how are you doing? I know you've kind of turned the circle as well.
I'm well. And the meet's going really well. You know, we're pumping the signal out to the OTBs this year, the handles increased quite a bit. And this is a beautiful place to race, and we're real proud of this racetrack that we revamped here at Shenandoah.
J.D. Thomas, the former track superintendent at Colonial Downs, and has left a legacy there. Started out with just some really innovative measures, especially on the turf course there. Everything from crumb rubber to actually torching the turf course, which was very innovative and beneficial. Now doing the maintenance. What is it like going from arguably perhaps the greatest turf course in the United States, Shenandoah Downs, and doing the harness racing meet, a whole different type of racing, a whole different type of surface. What kind of challenge was that for you?
Well, you know, the harness track is, and these horses, because of the gate that they race in, they're less likely for the catastrophic injuries, and that's the hardest part about being a track super at the thoroughbred tracks is your breakdowns. You know, that eats on you quite a bit. And, you know, my stepson Harrison Young is there now at Colonial Downs, and that weighs on him, I think, harder than any other part of the game. It's never easy to pick up a horse with a broken leg. It just never gets easy. This track's a real nice racetrack. We put a great deal of money in it, and we get people coming from all over the country to come here and race. It's nice. I really like it. It's just a great place to be.
It really is, and just the feel. That's why I call it Shenandoah. It has that great mountain air to it.
Yeah.
Usually really great weather like you're going to get today and tomorrow. By the way, just a couple of notes about Shenandoah. There's no wagering today. It's just a one-day event, and that's largely due to the racing at the Gold Cup that we'll talk about here in a little bit. And the racing has switched from Friday, Saturday to Saturday, Sunday. That's because of daylight. So just a little change in the schedule is they have about three weekends of racing left as well. Tell us a little bit about your background. I know some of it, but going back to Rokeby Stables and how you got involved in track, you know, maintenance, track superintendent, even your involvement of the game. You know, tell us a little bit about starting with Rokeby and actually now playing at least a consultant role with the Middleburg Training Center.
Well, growing up at Rokeby was quite a thrill. It was a wonderful place to grow up. It was like its own world. And Paul Mellon, the owner of Rokeby Stables, is and probably always will be the only breeder to win the Arc de Triomphe, the Epsom Derby, and the Kentucky Derby. He won all three of those races, Mill Reef with the Arc and in the Epsom Derby, and Sea Hero for the Kentucky Derby. And that was just a couple of the champions that he bred and raised and raced. I started out there and as a groom in the Broodmare barn, and went from there to the training center at Middleburg, galloping horses. I rode some steeplechase races. I was pretty much what you would consider a professional point-to-point jockey. I was a little big, and I passed off a lot of horses that I rode in the point-to-points to other riders. And when they went to the sanction meets, I couldn't do the weight. And to going to track superintendent at Delaware Park, and had a mentor named Cecil Loney, who was a owner, driver, trainer in Canada. And he was a pretty innovative track man in his own right. He kept that track together at Delaware Park when there was no budget. There was no casino. There was no money. Right after the DuPonts sold it to Billy Christmas and Bill Rickman, we just got by with what we could, what we could do. And he did a marvelous job, and he was a great mentor to me. And I kind of backed into harness racing when I was at Colonial Downs. My first year there was in 07, and I kind of, they asked me to stick around and do the harness track after the thoroughbred meet. And I said, well, I don't know much about harness racing. They said, well, you can run a grader, we'll teach you the rest. So that the rest is history. We had some track records that year, and I believe we had a world record. John Wagner, Genuine Hanover, I think she would set a world record. She might still hold it. I'm not quite sure. But then when that meet was over, with that being said, I had some job offers at Hoosier and Balmoral, and I ended up taking a job at Pompano Park in South Florida. And I was there from the fall of 07 until the spring of 09 when Colonial Downs wanted to make some changes, and they brought me back, and I took the main track to turf and the backside, and we did thoroughbred and harness, and I was there until they closed. The Virginia Equine Alliance hired me, the rest is history. We raced at Oak Ridge the first year Colonial was shuttered. We raced year of standard bred after Colonial shut down for the thoroughbred. We raced one more year harness there. And then we went to Oak Ridge in Nelson County, Virginia for 1 year. And in the second year, we came here. We worked on this. This all really came together quite fast. And the second year, we were here. And the rest is pretty much history.
Yeah, just a great career handling a bunch of different surfaces, and the Colonial track, of course, it's a great legacy that you've passed on now to Harrison Young, your stepson, in terms of the maintenance. Want to mention the trainer of a phenomenal horse that could race on literally any surface, another one of your sons, Jonathan Thomas. And, of course, Catholic Boy, who ended up winning the Travers and won races on the synthetic as well as the turf. How is his career? We've had him on the show several times. Usually have him on at least once a year. But, moving toward the Breeders' Cup, how are things going with Jonathan so far?
Jonathan is right now at Keeneland. Some of his horses are at Keeneland, I believe. I'm not sure if he's left Monmouth with the second, with the other string to go to Payson. He will go to Payson after, in Florida, Payson Park, after the Breeders' Cup. But he has a juvenile filly turf horse named Delight for Mr. George Strawbridge Racing that he purchased from Mr. Strawbridge. And she's raced four times, and she's had two wins and 2 seconds. She's made a little over 200,000, and she's by Mendelssohn out of Medaglia d'Oro mare, and she's Mendelssohn's first black type winner. So, you know, we're real excited about her. And, you know, Catholic Boy had a rough trip in the Breeders' Cup, and, you know, he would have been right there, I believe. And we keep plugging away. We're going to win one of these things.
Yeah, yeah, to go with the Travers, which is a nice trophy to have on that mantle. Well, JD, it was great catching up with you today. Looking forward to maybe crossing paths with you here shortly, maybe up at Chenatoga. I'm still trying to get
this
Sunday might open up
a
visit for me up there.
The last time I saw you, I believe, was here, and before that, it was. I think after we just torched the turf course at Colonial. So, yeah, come and visit. We'd love to see you.
Yeah, absolutely. Among the many things happening right now, that's one of the things I'd absolutely want to get up there. And I think the Sunday is really an opportunity to maybe catch some of the standard bred racing up there. Well, Jonathan, listen to me. JD, thanks for spending some time with us this morning. It was great catching up with you, and we appreciate the job you do keeping those horses safe on those surfaces.
Thank you so much, Nick, for having me, and it's good talking to you as always.
Great. J.D. Thomas, just a unique, great individual, takes his work very seriously, and he joins us on Off to the Races this morning. Next segment here on the show, and will be an interview that Frank Vespy had, Maryland Million Day today up at Laurel Park. He interviewed Cricket Goodall, and the Maryland Million, a very unique, for those who aren't familiar with it, a very unique event. It's modeled after the Breeders' Cup. It was founded by Jim McKay, a legendary sports figure who I actually had a chance to talk to several times. Never got him on the radio show. Spoke to him several times, and it's basically a state model of the Breeders' Cup. Maryland Million is a little bit different. In Virginia, we have the Virginia Certified, Virginia Sired, Virginia Bred. All of those horses are eligible for the state races. In Maryland, it is not even Maryland Bred. It's Maryland Sired. The stallions that stand in Maryland, their progeny have preference over even the Maryland breds in terms of making the Maryland Million field. And so Frank Vespy spoke with Cricket Goodall about today's big day up at Laurel Park.
Welcome back to Off to the Races Radio, powered by the Racing Biz. Going to be joined by Cricket Goodall, Executive Director of the Maryland Horse Breeders Association and Maryland Million. Cricket, thanks so much for making a couple minutes for us here on Maryland Million Eve to talk Maryland Million. I know you're very busy, so we'll get right to it. Tremendous field sizes on Maryland Million Day at Laurel Park. That's got to make you feel pretty good as a representative of the breeding industry about kind of where the breeding industry is in Maryland right now.
Yeah, we are very excited. It's a tremendous card. It might be the best card ever. The racing office did a great job. They found the horses, notified the Maryland sired horses about this big day and the money that's available to them. And yes, we have a really strong breeding industry in here. We have great stallions, and you know, they're underappreciated if that's the case, but tomorrow they won't be, or on Maryland Million Day they won't be. That's the point. That's their day to shine, and it looks like they're all going to come out and shine, and we're so happy about it. So happy to be back, you know, in full force again with fans at the track and a great card for everybody to wager on. It's exciting.
Yeah, it's really, I have emphasized this to everybody I've spoken with, this is as good a betting card as I think I've seen anywhere ever. I mean, from a just straight betting perspective, you got 12 races, you got full fields everywhere and evenly matched fields everywhere. So folks need to come out and they need to bet this card at Laurel Park. Maryland Million Day is October 22nd, Saturday afternoon, first post 11:30 a.m. what else are people going to find if they do come out, Cricket? What else, beyond this fantastic betting card, what else are they going to find?
Well, that's a big statement from you about the card, so I'm really happy to hear that, because you're one that looks at a lot of these cards, and you know, I think it's a great card. I'm not a bettor, but good for you to recognize that and tell people. So we hopefully fans come back in force. Last year we had fans back, of course, but you know, there was still some concern. So it's going to be a beautiful day for horses and people. So we have all the hospitality we always have. Plus we have added a ponies in the paddock, an expanded kids area right around the paddock with a pony kissing booth and, you know, little squishy ponies for kids and face painting and juggling. We've moved all the kids stuff down there because it's a bigger place. So, you know, at this day is about families, and we wanted families to have a place to really enjoy it with their children. That's probably the newest addition we've had. And that's pretty exciting for us. So I hope to get the word out about that.
I have often felt, Cricket, and I'm curious as to whether this is something sort of animating you all at Maryland Million. I've often felt that, you know, people in racing always say, oh, we need more young people. We need college kids, or we need 24-year-olds to come out. And I've often felt like actually the key demographic would be sort of young parents with young children, because if you could get the kid, you might keep the kid through the child's life. But in the more immediate sense, when parents find things they can do with their children and they can both enjoy it in their own way, that is a really compelling activity.
Exactly. It's a nice, safe place, you know, to bring your kids, and you'll have things for them to do and lots for you to do if you're just a fan of watching horses, or you actually are going to wager and help us, you know, boost that handle. I think that I agree with you. Little kids, oftentimes you'll find long-term fans will have gone to the track as small children with somebody, with their uncle or their grandfather or their. So I think that you're right. It's a good way to expose children and have fun, and maybe they'll become lifelong fans. Maybe they'll become owners and breeders and, you know, more involved. We honestly believe that. And I think we're spot on. So, you know, this is a day that we can really show off and have a kids area that there's more for them to do, but also with their parents.
Talking with Cricket Goodall, Executive Director of the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, Maryland Million. Maryland Million Day is October 22nd at Laurel Park, First Post, 11:30. Cricket, you've been involved in Maryland Million pretty much from the jump. Has it exceeded your expectations over the years? Are you surprised at how strong this day continues to be for Maryland?
Absolutely. I think that I have been here since the beginning, 37 years now. So in the beginning, I was brand new, but the Breeders' Cup was just coming online. Jim McKay, you know, had the idea to do it here. So, in the beginning, it was exciting. And every year there was an excitement to it. But to maintain that excitement and to keep the loyal fans and sort of the Maryland regional traditions alive for 37 years is a big statement. It's very, very difficult to make big racing events these days because there's so many options for people for other things to do or other ways to wager. So we want people at the track to come out, and Maryland Million Day is one of the biggest days in Maryland after the Preakness and the Black Eyed Susan. And to have it go for 37 years, I'm proud of it. Jim McKay should be proud of it. All the people that are involved should be proud of it, because it's a difficult task to maintain it for that long and grow it, to be honest with you. I mean, after 37 years, we might have one of the best race cards we've ever had. That's a big statement.
Yeah, no, it is really a good race card. Curious, you have sort of favorite memories of, as somebody who's been at all of the Maryland Millions, what's a favorite memory of yours?
Well, I think in the beginning it was with Jim McKay, to watch his pride in Maryland and his dedication. You know, everywhere he went, he would mention it. I'm sorry that younger people really don't know who he was and Wide World of Sports and all that. But the day that his horse won on Maryland Million Day, Sean's Ferrari, has to be one of my best Maryland Million memories, because he was so excited and the horse looked like he had no shot. He was, you know, a long shot, and Lafitte Pinkai came in to ride him, and he just picked him up and carried him over the finish line. He won by a nose, I think. But, you know, that was just something that happened. It wasn't a miracle, but it was a big you know, hope that it would, and a good story. There's been lots of those, though. The Winner's Circle on Maryland Million Day is full of people who consider this day, those races, their mini Preakness, their biggest event they might ever win. And that's great to have us have that kind of impact, and the stallions in Maryland to show off that day is great. It just is a full circle moment for everybody that's involved.
And Maryland Million has sort of been the inspiration. I mean, the, you know, Carol Holden and Sam Huff took the idea to West Virginia, created the West Virginia Breeders Classics. You guys are kind of the you know, the Rose Bowl is the granddaddy of them all. Maryland Million is kind of the granddaddy of all the state bred days.
Yeah, absolutely. All the states that have state bred days, they might have modified them slightly to include more of the foaled horses and not just the stallions, depending on what their stallion population looked like. But they absolutely have dedicated days to the state breds or the state sired horses. And that is has a huge impact on their breeding industry wherever they are. So kudos to the Breeders' Cup, of course, but then to be able to do it on a regional level is impactful everywhere they do it, still to this day.
And we're going to have a Irish tenor, Anthony Curran's going to be in the house tomorrow as well. That's always a treat.
It is. He loves this event, and he is adds a little flair for us. He's going to be singing God Bless America in the middle of the day and get us, you know, that patriotic flair. He's a wonderful addition, and we're happy to have him. We do on track events. We do a lot of other things that don't happen on even a normal big race day. So we try to entertain people who may not be, dedicated horse racing fans. They want to see something going on between the races, and we try to offer that. We have Settlers Post Clydesdales coming. We have pony racing, which is always very exciting. We've been able to keep up those traditions too, which, I think is a good thing, because you have to appeal to a lot of different audiences in the racing world. And we try to do that on Maryland Million Day.
Do you have any rooting interests for tomorrow, for Saturday's races, Saturday's Maryland Million races?
I do not. I can't pick one over the other. I want, the stallions, hopefully stallions that are alive and well and still in Maryland to win races, to have their progeny win, because it bumps their appeal. We've got great stallion farms. Northview's a sponsor, plus the biggest farm. They've got new stallions. They've got, Great Notion running. I don't know. I'm sure he has the most horses running. Murmur Farm with Blofeld, who's been the hot stallion here, has, I think, 9 running. So, I just want it to reflect the industry here in a positive way and have an economic impact on our industry, a positive economic impact. And that's my hope. I can't really have specific rooting interests other than the stallions. Go Maryland Stallions.
Yeah, it's a good weather, safe racing, exciting finishes, big handle. That's the,
well said.
The yeah. I'm here for you. Yeah. All right, Cricket Goodall, thank you so much for joining us. Maryland Million Day, October 22nd at Laurel Park. First post, 11:30, 12 race card. Unbelievable betting card. Folks definitely need to come out and enjoy the day and put some money through the windows, because it's going to be a day where you can make a little bit of coin at the betting windows. Cricket, thanks so much.
Great. Thanks, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Happy Maryland Million Day.
Yeah, Maryland Million Day, first race post time 11:30. Actually, just went through with the scratches while listening to the interview. No field less than 10, and many still at 14. So an absolutely great all stakes betting card up at Laurel Park today. Just a couple of notes before we go to break on Off to the Races. The Breeders' Cup pre-entries come out October 26th on Wednesday. The draw is actually Monday, October 31st on Halloween. And of course, the juvenile races, 5 juvenile races on Friday, November 4th, Saturday, November 5th, have all the older races, including the Breeders' Cup Classic. Right now, of course, Flightline is the big favorite in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Epicenter, Hot Rod Charlie, Taba, Country Grammar, Life is Good, Rich Strike, all looking to be part of that field. So that's going to be an excellent race. And the distaff, the favorites, the net is Nest, and the turf, it's Miss Sharif. Jackie's Warrior, trying to finally get that Breeders' Cup win in the sprint. Domestic Spending in the mile. Cave Rock is the favorite in the juvenile on Friday, and Leave No Trace in the juvenile filly on that Friday as well. So those are the the favorites and the schedule for the Breeders' Cup races, which are right around the corner. We're going to go to break here on Off to the Races. When we come back, we'll speak with Frank Vespi live up at Laurel Park. You're listening to Off to the Races, powered by theracingbiz.com.
Join the Maryland Jockey Club to celebrate the 37th running of Jim McKay Maryland Million Day on Saturday, October 22nd at Laurel Park. Come with friends and family to Maryland's Day at the Races and enjoy a great day of racing with on-track entertainment between races, including the Settlers Post Clydesdales. Visit the new Kids Zone, Ponies in the Paddock. Meet us at Laurel Park on Saturday, October 22nd. Visit laurelpark.com for details. First post, 11:30 a.m.
Harness the mountain magic at Shenandoah Downs this fall as harness racing returns to Woodstock, Virginia for an 8-week season beginning September 16th. Watch, wager, and win 10 times each race day. Happy hour racing every Friday starts at 3 o'clock and features $2 draft beers and $1 hot dogs. Saturday racing starts at 1 o'clock, and on September 17th, it's free long sleeve t-shirt day. Own a horse for a day and win thousands of dollars. Shenandoah Downs, where admission and parking are always free and the races are family friendly.
Champion Gunrunners, Full Brother Fortune Ticket, and the regally bred Group 1 winner Long River are just two of the exciting young stallions standing at Maryland's Anchor and Hope Farm. In his first year at stud, Fortune Ticket figures to be a hot commodity, standing for a fraction of the price of his big brother. And Long River's first runner should hit the track this year. Also at Anchor and Hope are leading regional stallions like Holy Boss, Editorial, Bourbon Courage, and Imagining. Anchor and Hope Farm, bringing the best to the Mid-Atlantic. Learn more at anchorhopefarm.com.
And we're back, living the dream with Frank Vespi, who is got a dream card up there at Laurel Park today for the Maryland Million. Just quickly, before we get Frank on the air, I did see where the first Kentucky Derby lines are out, and Cave Rock, who we just talked about, 15-1. Baffert actually has the top two train of horses under his tutelage. Cave Rock and Having a Meltdown, 15-1 and 35-1 so far, and at least the Caesars book. What I was sort of surprised is that Damon's Mound, just off that one poor performance, shot one time very well, may have been the favorite. Shot down to 125-1. I may have to try and get something sweet action in on that horse at 125-1. I kind of like that. But going up to Laurel here for a live report with Frank Vespi. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, Nick. How are you?
Doing well, and only about an hour before the gates open up, try and get all of your changes and scratches in on this very full card. What's the atmosphere this morning live from Laurel Park?
Well, it's just an absolutely perfect day here at Laurel. If anybody listening is sort of on the fence, maybe you want to come out, maybe you don't, you need to come out, because it can't be nicer than it is in Maryland in the fall right now. It's just a gorgeous day. And I mean, this is an amazing card they've put together. The Laurel Racing Office really has to be commended. They have put together just a blockbuster card. It's probably the best Maryland Million card I've ever seen, and really one of the best betting cards, period, I've ever seen. I mean, just huge fields and evenly matched fields kind of everywhere you look. So it should be a lot of fun. And, it's going to be a great day. You know, people are starting to arrive. It's an hour to first post. So, you know, people are starting to stagger in here, and should be a good crowd. So yeah, everything, the Maryland Million folks got to be thanking their lucky stars, because it's just setting up perfectly for a big day here.
We'll try and maybe get a pick out of you for the Maryland Million Classic itself. This is an all-stakes card, by the way, so every race is a stakes race. But the fact that you have this reunion of the Poser and Tappan Cat and Prendini, who finished 1-2-3, Prendini with that real stubborn ride by Michael Sanchez to hold on with all of those closers coming at him. One of the one of the better finishes of a Maryland Million Classic. Who do you like in the Classic here?
Well, I'll tell you what, you have the top four from last year, actually. You also got Torch of Truth in. And the thing about last year's Maryland Million Classic is the track was a very, very speed-favoring racetrack that day, which really played to Prendini, who went to the front and, as you said, Nick, was just really stubborn and holding him off. I think there's other speed here. I think the pace is going to be a little bit zippy, so I want to – unless the track ends up being the same way it was a year ago, and I don't see any reason to think that, I want a horse that's going to be running into the pace a little bit. And I think that horse, to me, who's kind of the now horse, is the Poser. Talked with trainer Ham Smith about him. He really likes how he's coming in, says he's coming in really well. Ran a good race last time to be second to Ain't the Beer Cold at Timonium, and I think that's a race he could easily have won. Ain't the Beer Cold just held him off, but it easily could have gone the other way. A little bit of added ground here today. I think the race sets up for his style, and at 6-1, I think he's worth a play.
Yeah, the Poser, if that name is familiar, he won a race at Colonial Downs over the summer in July, so and returns heavy in Toledo to the Irons. Well, Frank, have a great day today up at Laurel. We'll certainly be watching, and enjoy the festivities up there at Laurel Park today.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, Nick. And I don't know why you're talking about Kentucky Derby when it's Maryland Million Day, but come on. thanks for having me on. Always good to chat, and have a great day.
We always try and stay ahead of the story. Frank Vespi joining us from Laurel Park this morning on a big day up there, Jim McKay's Maryland Million. The wanted to go back. We'll be reaching out here for a Derby Bill here and have so many races from Maryland to handicap, as well as might even try and take a quick glance at the International Gold Cup and talk a little bit about that here in a few moments. But I did want to recap a visit I had yesterday out at the James River Horse Foundation out in Goochland. This is a program that rehabilitates offenders through the use of their work with retired thoroughbreds. And from the moment I stepped on the grounds on a beautiful day yesterday, the word that just sort of came to my mind was symbiotic, which is just the way that these offenders, and this is a female facility, the way that these offenders work with these animals, and the benefit what the horse provides to the offenders and what the offenders provide for the horse is just truly a real spiritual, there's just a great connection between the two. I know I mentioned earlier in the show, they may be listening today. I think they'll either hear this by tape or maybe listening to it live. But I'm going to play a little bit of a testimonial here that I recorded during my visit here. This could have been any of the ladies that I was speaking with, but I could only pick one for this segment. But I heard very similar stories all the way about. I just want the listeners of the show to maybe take a listen here and just hear how beneficial this program is. So what was your experience working with horses before?
I had none. No, I've been incarcerated for 15 years. So at VCCW, I was in the dog program for 6 years. So that was little horses, what they were. I mean, but coming here, and I first come down here, at first I didn't think I was going to make it because of my size and their size, and I just didn't think I had the confidence and the the knowledge to be able to do this. But Miss Weldon convinced me, just stick it out, you're going to be fine. Now I wouldn't trade it for nothing.
Really?
I mean, I hate being in prison, don't get me wrong, but if I got to be in prison doing this, I'm good. I'm good, because this is my... These creatures here, once you have those three, we go through classes, and the first three things you learn is trust, love, and respect. You get that from your horse, you got it made. So each of us have our own horses that we groom, and then we get that with them. You know, the bonding time comes with them. And they know you. Trust me, they know you. My favorite one is Pocasone, but he is actually the biggest horse here.
Is that why he's your favorite?
Actually, that was one of the reasons I was questioning staying here, because Miss Weldon was like, well, when she was giving out the horses, she was like, I'm going to give you Poco. And I'm like, probably not going to make it then, because he's so big. I can't even reach his backside when I'm grooming him. And then he had injured his leg and was down at the barn here for 4 months. And, I mean, that's when we bonded. I mean, he was down here every day, you know. He's just an amazing horse to me. Me and him have a connection there. He's my spirit horse.
He's a gentle giant, too.
He really is, yeah.
He's one of the sweetest.
How do you hope to carry this experience forward?
I do know that I could go out there in the industry and groom, help someone take care of a barn or something like that. That could be a job opportunity for me, whereas I wouldn't have had that before. But I do have a more calmness about me. You know, just being down here around them, you get plenty of time to think, and they know all my secrets, you know, all my thoughts, but it just really helps to keep me calm. My whole attitude is completely changed, I feel like, since coming down here.
Yeah, I could have given, the stories are different, but the impact is the same. I could have used any of the testimonies of the girls that I spoke to, the ladies I spoke to yesterday, and it wouldn't have, the impact is just incredible. So I wanted to play a little bit of a testimonial there to provide some awareness of this very beneficial program. The voice you heard a little bit in the background there was Debbie Dunham, who is the president of the James River Horse Foundation. And we're coming up on a time of year where it is a season of giving. We have Thanksgiving around the corner, of course, Christmas, the holidays, New Year's Eve. And if you are in a giving mood, I would ask you to consider this, because this is a really beneficial program. And I think the impacts of this relatively new program are only just beginning to come around. So really enjoyed that visit. I'll be preparing a story for the racingbiz.com over the next couple, I'm going to say weeks, because I want to make sure I get it right. And there are just so many angles to this story. But I understand that perhaps the First Lady of Virginia may be coming out for a visit as well. So just a really beneficial program. And I wanted to take a little bit of time this morning to share what was a very unique experience for me. So with that said, and I hope you ladies had a chance to listen this morning. I'm with you. The Virginia International Gold Cup is today up at Great Meadow, and they have some full fields up there as well. I mean, racing just does not sleep in the fall here in Virginia. We have 8 races on the card here, including the Zeke Ferguson, which is one of the highlights on the card. They have this very unique race. I think it's one of the few races run in America, the Steeplethon, which is sort of a mix of a marathon and a steeplechase, where they actually go like through puddles. And when I say puddles, they actually go run through water at times as part of this race. So, and you can wager. I believe it is through Twin Spires is the only platform I've been able to find this morning. The one I use usually is ExpressBet, and ExpressBet I saw was not carrying the signal as much. But yeah, you have A.D. Amu, who has won the Virginia Gold Cup by 23 lengths, which is you know, for a race that's 3.5 miles long, maybe that's not, or 4 miles long, I should say, that's not perhaps a large margin of victory, but, you know, 23 lengths is always impressive no matter how far you're going. They're going 3.5 today in the International Gold Cup. So that's likely the feature on the card up there in the plains. So good luck to them, and hope that they have enjoyed the great day that we have before us as well. So the International Gold Cup today. Reaching out here for Derby Bill Watson, and if you know anything about Derby Bill, he I think he was born in D.C., but he was always a Maryland guy. Let's introduce Derby Bill to the show.
If you've never seen an Atlantic sunrise and the sunset over Alawa, I'd never cross the Bay Bridge with the windows down. Salt air blowing all around. Never heard a ass woman with Susquehanna. Got a melon tattoo with magic pajamas. Let me shed a little.
I'm partial to Virginia. I'm Virginia bred. I always enjoy my visit up to Maryland, especially over Preakness weekend. But Derby Bill now joining us. It's a Maryland thing. I guess I may not fully understand, but I get it a little bit, Derby Bill. Tell us about the bumper bringing you into this edition of Off to the Races this morning.
Well, it was very creative there. The Maryland guy, he went to Towson University and played football there. So the guy that wrote the song. So it was, and they used it at the, it's so good they used it at the Oriole games. They used it at all of the Baltimore Oriole games this year for the first time. So they, you know, a little prideful and not adverse to any of the political world nowadays. Just some pride.
I was about
pride
to say,
yeah.
Recognize state pride. Songs are sort of a problem. So I don't know if any how many state songs will ever be recognized anymore. Virginia, of course, changing theirs.
Well, I know you've written 10 editions for the Virginia state song, and they're all banned.
I wouldn't even know where on the bars. My knowledge of music is so limited. Everybody knows that's not true. I can't sing music. All I can do is listen to it. But yeah, great choice of a song. Very appropriate on Off to the Races this morning. Tell us some of your experiences with the Maryland Million. I think you've told us before. You were born actually in D.C., but lived in Maryland for such a long time.
Oh, yeah. I was born in Anacostia.
Okay.
Being the slang word, Custa, down in southeast D.C. where the ballpark is now, National Ballpark. I think they plowed my house, row of houses out to build the ball stadium there for the Nationals. So I grew up on the Potomac and the river, Anacostia River. So it got so bad I had to move to Maryland. So moved out to the suburbs like most people had to. And fell in love with, you know, crab cakes more when I moved to the Maryland thing. Plus, I was closer to Bowie Racetrack, which is the first track I ever went to in my life. It was Bowie and then Laurel. And then, obviously, we did the Bowie Charlestown West Virginia double. We'd do both tracks in one day back in them days. And none of this watch from home simulcast festival they have nowadays. We actually went to two or three tracks a day. I think we went to three tracks one day. It was a harness track too, Rosecroft. So Maryland, great pass. I was at the first Maryland Million, which was what, 37 years ago?
Yeah. And, oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Jim McKay was there, and you know, the Wild World of Sports genius, for the people that are too young to remember him. He's the creator of this thing and just fabulous tradition, and it's, you know, running it before the Breeders' Cup gives us a bunch of people. Bunch of angles today to try to build up the piggy banks for the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland in a couple weeks. So, nice card. I mean, 12 races, 12-pack of races is appropriate for Baltimoreans. 12 packs, you know, and get the Natty Bow out and go to the track. You know, 12 packs. So they give you 12 races today if you didn't know that correlation.
Yeah, well, be careful with that. A beer race may get you in a little bit of trouble there.
Done that before.
It is a long day, though.
I've done that at the Maryland Millions Day. We had like 25,000 people there one year at Laurel Park, and it was quite a mess traffic wise, but it was fun. I mean, it's not set up like Churchill Downs or the big track, so that's pretty overflow when they get 25,000 people there. But it's a great tradition for them, and the Maryland Million Classic today it has a drinking horse in it for me, so double crown roll, so is what I call the horse. So I'm gonna try a double crown 9-2 in the Maryland Million Classic race 11 about 5 o'clock, in between 7,000 sporting events around the country.
Boy, it really big slate of college football too, but all this racing happening on such a great day. Cordmaker gets into this race. Did have a chance to catch up with the scratches here a little bit, so it does look like it does look like Cordmaker did get in the race, and which is kind of a unique situation because Cordmaker is actually the favorite here. Frank Vespi earlier in the show, he reached out for the Poser here, and the Poser is 8-1 in the morning line, giving you a little bit of price. Double Crown, the horse you mentioned, won that race at Colonial Downs back in early August with Karamanis aboard, and that's who, no surprise there that Derby Bill is picking a horse ridden by Karamanis here. So you like Double Crown in this Maryland Million Classic to really kind of sneak up there and avenge a setback that he had in a Polynesian back at Pimlico back in September. Double Crown Derby Bill's pick here, that is actually the three horse if you're playing at home. And I'm actually going to reach out to Tapping Cat here with Angel Suarez aboard. I think a horse that also at 8-1 for Gary Capuano that may have a say in this race as well. Let's look at maybe another Maryland Million race. Geez, there's so many of them today. But the Maryland Million Sprint, which is a race just before it, has a field of a couple of scratches in this race. But has a field. This one looks like it got scratched down 2-10. I think it's one of the smaller fields of the day. Maybe an opportunity to pick the Maryland Million Sprint or you know, it maybe some of the other races that you were looking at.
Basically, you use a daily double if you want to use the race 10 into the Maryland Million Classic. That's a good way to do it. The old-fashioned daily double. They have the rolling doubles there. It's a little bit more action on that than that Shenandoah. How you pronounce Shenandoah?
Shenatoga is what I call it.
That's it. Shenatoga. Yeah. Okay, Shenatoga, they have one daily double, which they need to expand on. But I love the daily double still. It's not as lucrative as the horizontal wagers that TVG pumps with, or FanDuel pumps with, you know, pick threes, pick four, pick five, but I still like the old-fashioned daily double on some of these. When you have two stakes races right in a row, for the love of bourbon, this has to be, you know, has to be my drinking double there. Well, for the love of bourbon is the 11 horse here in race 10, and then you have Double Crown in race 11. So if you're, you know, a drinker, just a very festive activity if you hit that daily double. There's another horse called, what's the other one in here? I liked... this is pretty much should be the favorite, the For the Love of Bourbon, which
8-5 is his favorite.
That's not too juicy, so that's why you put him in the daily double and wheel him. Redeem Eddie's in this one, big front runner. So, and going to the lead, all these will be about 10-1 or more. So, it's juicy if you can beat, and if you can. Not melt the ice with For the Love of Bourbon.
How about taking For the Love of Bourbon. I like this horse is going for his sixth win. If I can count that right. Yeah, I think it's like his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, it comes into the race winning 5 races in a row up at Parks, and most of those stakes races. So certainly a very talented horse here. Maybe go back one race prior, try and pick up maybe a pick three here with a couple of horses that here we go, the Maryland Million Turf, $125,000 stakes race for three-year-olds and upwards. This features a number of horses that raced at Colonial Downs, including Nicky Bear, no relation, Street Copper, and Cannon Stallions Roar. These are horses that raced at Colonial over the summer. What do you think about the turf?
Yeah, Cannon's Roar is the Sheldon Russell's up on that one. Everybody knows him. He's been through hell and high waters with the riding for his wife normally. This one he gets for Dale Capuana here. The Orient ain't, you know, 8-year-old. So, and a little good thing for the older horses here that get a shot if they're Maryland bred or Maryland sired, mainly Maryland sired in this race. So, should be real competitive at 4-1, which means $10, you know, if you're betting to win. And if you're betting to win, Express Bet. Use Express Bet today because they have a rebate program, Nick. You bet $10, you get it back next Tuesday on every race at Maryland Million today. So you can't beat that deal. You bet $10 on my pick, Cannon's Roy, and he comes in first, second, or third. You win, you know, $100, or you get rebate for second and third. So just a nice addition. They're trying to compete with the sports wagering books.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You usually have to opt in on those type of promotions. So make sure you do that through the websites there. Derby Bill, we got the Breeders' Cup not too far away. We got the rest of the Maryland Million card. Any other plays that you want to extend out today?
Well, you had the Hill Prince, and I was looking at that from Keeneland. Well, the Hill Prince is from Belmont. I was looking at Keeneland and Belmont today, but you got two from the Virginia Derby back. Limited Liability is 4-1, another $10 horse. The 10 horse at Belmont and the Prince, Hill Prince on turf, should be good weather up there today, too. So there's a Virginia Derby horse running there. With a good shot at and a $10 horse at Belmont. So, you know, Keeneland has a couple, but Maryland Million's the focus today for sure. And then the obviously the dog racing at Shenandoah or Shenandoga Sunday. They have the Wiener races, and that's huge to Derby Bill. Wieners are always huge.
Okay. We'll just end it with that right there. Derby Bill, thanks for your picks today. Want to thank everybody that's been on the show today. We had Cricket Goodall on tape. We had Frank Vespi live. J.D. Thomas, it was great to catch up with him. Need to catch up with him a little further. And the U.S. Navy Band taking us out of this edition of Off to the Races. The Breeders' Cup is around the corner. Enjoy the Maryland Million today, and we'll talk to you next week on Off to the Races, post time, 10 o'clock.